with signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end.
We will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is our faithfulness. When we walk through life's darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful One. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! To the God from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! To the God whose glory has been shown.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I'd never been the same.
We will remember, we will remember.
Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. Father, this morning, we're reminded to remember. Lord, we remember the day that you saved us, November 19th, 2002, at Iron House Fitness in Smyrna, Georgia. What a day that was. And Father, since then, you've been molding and shaping. And Father, you do that to all your children, all of those who come to you with a childlike faith. You begin to father them and mold them and shape them. I'm glad this morning that, Father, we can come to you in brokenness, as broken children. We don't have to come to church when everything's in line and in a row and everything is fine and dandy, because those times hardly ever come. But Lord, you say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. These doors of this church is open for the whole world. Your children are to come in. Those that don't know you are to come in and get to know you. I'm glad we can come before you as we are. And Father, my prayer is that we will leave forever changed. And this morning, Lord, I pray that you would move in the hearts and lives of the people that are here. No doubt some have come to receive a word from you, direction in their life. God, we pray that that would happen. And Lord, for those who are under a heavy burden, Lord, we pray that through Scripture, Father, we can find comfort this morning. And for the soul that's here that does not know you, that has no assurance that if they died, heaven will be their home, let today be a day of absolute assurance. Let them come, Lord, and acknowledge that they're a sinner. Father, admit that they're a sinner. Believe that you died for, believe, Lord, that you died for them, and then confess you as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for those truths. Move in a mighty way today. We pray for all of those that is in our prayer list, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church of Powder Springs and say it's good to see you, and hope you've had a good weekend so far. And they say that today is the last day of summer, but then the forecast of next week is going to be in the mid-90s, so who knows? And but nonetheless, we know that seasons do come and seasons do go, and there are seasons of change, and so we appreciate the fact that fall is coming. But anyway, I want to mention a few requests this morning, and we've been doing things a little different the past few Sundays as far as our prayer time in the morning. I'd like to keep things changed up a little bit, but I received word this morning as I was coming in that Brother Harold Dolph has had a stroke. And he actually found this out on Friday of the stroke that he had. A small stroke is what I was told. And so there's a numbness that he's feeling. So you pray for him on that. Also, Miss Norma Karanovich is in Cobb Hospital. And she is, from what I was told on that as well, that if anybody would like to come and visit, that they are receiving friends and family. She has, she has in her lungs? Pneumonia. So I was going after it till I got it. But pray for her, and she's supposed to be released if all is well on Tuesday. And so please remember Norma and Miss Cassie, Miss Shirley Townsend, called this morning. She's home, not feeling well due to chemotherapy and the doctor's appointment she had the other day. So pray for her. Pray for Brother James. Brother Rusty goes on Tuesday to have sinus surgery. Pray for him. There's always going to be prayer requests. There's always going to be people that are under heavy loads. And, you know, this is something as believers that we delight in, is to pray. And so we want everyone to know that it's a delight to pray for you in your situation. Please pick up a bulletin. There's some down here. There's some in the foyer. That way you can stay up to date and in tune with the things that are going on around here. I want to read you a card just quickly from Miss Benita and Tom. This has to do with the homegoing of Morgan Tuck. She says, "We could never begin to express our gratitude for all the prayers, cards, and visit to Pa, Morgan, during his illness. He was so touched by the outpouring of kindness, and what a great example of Christian love and church family. Thank you so much. We appreciate it more than you know. More than you know, love, Tom and Benita." And so I want to make sure I read that this morning. And so they appreciate that. And we love Brother Morgan, loved him while he was with us. I want to mention one more thing. There's a little girl's birthday tomorrow that is very special to me. And that would be Christy and my daughter, Lily. And she's turning 12 tomorrow. And I don't know why she's not looking up. But anyway, I want to wish you a happy birthday, honey. I love you, and you're a blessing to us.
mentioned it just a few moments ago, was the time when he got saved. It was this month, and it goes back many years, 1977. I knew better. But I am thankful for the night that the Holy Spirit touched my heart and caused me to realize that I was lost. You can't get saved, Brother John, until you first get lost. Amen. The Holy Spirit touched my heart that night, and I fell under the conviction of God. And that night I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, and I am so, so thankful for that. I haven't always been exactly what He would have me to be, but there's one thing for sure. Brother Jack, I've always been His. All these years, I look back at that time, and I'm glad because of that, this morning, I can turn over to page number 120. And if you'll do that with me this morning, page 120, let's all stand, choir stand with me, church stand with me, and let's sing the first and the last of Victory in Jesus. And I want you to sing it this morning like you believe you've got it. If you don't have victory this morning, then don't sing it like you got it. But if you do, let them people out there on the street know in Powder Springs that you've got victory in Jesus. First and the last. All right, everyone sing this morning. Here we go.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory
on the last.
I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. So good to see you, as Pastor said, in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you are visiting with us here at Calvary today, you are our special guest. I do see some folks that are visiting with us around, and we are so thankful for that this morning. Let me just say, I'll say a little bit about this maybe even next Sunday, because I do realize that today is fall break. And many folks are out of town. They've gone to take maybe a last vacation, ending up summer. And we're thankful for that. They need some time off. And if they were able to do that, we thank the Lord for that. And so please remember them in prayer. But let me just say thank you to each one that participated in homecoming last week. Didn't the choir and all those soloists do a great job last week? Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. Go ahead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our musicians did a tremendous job. We're very thankful for them. And it was just a great day in the house of the Lord. Brother Snyder being with us, Miss Marcia singing in the choir. It was just a glorious day, and we so thank the Lord for it. But please remember that tonight we do have service here at 6 o'clock, and we won't have choir practice this evening. Choir, you'll get a night off tonight. We're going to give them a little bit of a break, and it's hard to believe we're saying this, but real soon here, then the next few weeks, we'll start working toward Christmas. Well, that's hard to believe, isn't it? Hate to mention that to you, but we're going to start working toward a Christmas program here real soon. And right behind that will be a hard jubilee. We'll start working toward that real soon, choir. So, but a couple of weeks off here probably for choir practice. But please, we have a special right after the choir comes down this morning. We're looking forward to that. So remember them in prayer. That'll be a little treat for you this morning. But no choir practice this evening. But please be back here for the service this evening at 6 o'clock. And we look forward to that. And also, of course, Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer meeting. The children's home will be leaving, I believe, in the morning, going to Florida. And I know they're excited about that. And we got them tied down back there. Miss Tammy got them all tied down, trying to keep them corralled. And so please remember them as they travel, and they would be kept safe through this week. And but Lord, give them traveling mercies. But let's have a word of prayer this morning. Just ask the Lord to be in our service. Please remember all the prayer requests that are being given. A lot of things going on. A lot of folks going through some very difficult times. But again, if you're visiting with us, you're a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Yes, Miss Jackie had an announcement. Yes.
Jackie and I have been talking. We do the sign outside, and we try to come up with something every week to put out there, a Bible verse or some little saying or something. But now we have a challenge for all of our children and teenagers from 19 years of age and under. I want you to come up with your special verse, your favorite verse that you have, and we're going to take them all. You put your name on the back of it, write it down, and we're going to take them and put them in a bowl or something, and every week we're going to draw out one of those verses and put it on the sign out there. Every time we draw out a verse, and whoever's name is on the back of that, we're going to give them a $5 bill. So, your little ones, Jack said he didn't care if it was written out in crayon. Just whatever your favorite verse is, you write it down, and you bring it. Start bringing it to us starting next week, and we'll start from there.
Why didn't you do this for 19 and above? Hey, that's a great challenge, amen? It gets our little ones involved in the Word of God, number one.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. Yes. And that'll be a great challenge for our young folks. Look, son, he's looking for a crayon now. Man. Give me something to write on. Does it matter if it's written on a napkin? No, whatever it is. You know, I did some of my best work written, doing work across the Southeast, writing all my notes down on a Waffle House napkin. Some of you will understand that as a sales rep. But anyway, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And ask the Lord just to give us a great day today in His house. Father, we love You and we praise You. Lord, we do remember the things that You have done for us. But Lord, this morning we stand in need of a new touch, a fresh touch from heaven today. Lord, thank You for those that are in the house of God with us today. And Lord, I pray that You touch them, bless them. Lord, we're looking forward to Your blessing upon us today. Lord, I pray that You touch our pastor. Lord, speak through him today the Word of God. Lord, You know exactly what we need. Lord, may our minds and our hearts be open to receive what You have for us here today. Lord, we don't believe that You've brought us here for no reason. Lord, surely You've brought us here that we might receive, Lord, what You need us to receive. Lord, touch the offering now, both the gift and the giver. Lord, I pray that You'd be with those that are sick and unable to be here with us today. Some are going through very difficult times, and pray that You touch them. Lord, I pray that You would just fill this place with Your Holy Spirit today would be our prayer. Touch the choir, the little ones as they'll sing here in a few moments. And Lord, I pray that You would just accept our worship and our praise today. Lord, You are worthy of all of our praise, and we'll be careful now to praise You in advance for what will be accomplished here. If there's someone here today that doesn't know You as personal Savior, that would be our prayer, that they would receive You in their hearts today before they leave this place. And we'll praise You now for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
They didn't understand. Didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm. Then suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the
eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my face, the keeper of my days.
When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the
eye of the storm.
They could not understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wondered if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "He's the
eye of the storm, the center of my calm, the place where I find shelter, the place where I find warmth, the center of my ways, the keeper of my days."
When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the
eye.
Take hold of his strong hand. Listen closely to his words.
He is the great I am. I am.
He's the I. When I can't feel the sunshine and my ship is tossed and torn, he's the
eye of the storm.
He's the eye of the storm.
Thank you.
a blessing. A line in that song says, grace has taught my heart to fear. And the grace of God will teach a lot of things. And we appreciate the good grace of God this morning. And it's good to be here in the house of the Lord, and hope you enjoyed the choir singing this morning. And speaking of the Lord being the center of our calm, and being hurricane season and all, and they say that there's a part of a hurricane in the center where there's a calmness there, and much like the Lord Jesus, when we go through trials and tribulation, He's our calm, He's our anchor. And sure and steadfast, we appreciate all the singing. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and turn to the New Testament book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 26. Book of Matthew chapter number 26. It's going to be our place of reading this morning. Got one on the front row already there. Yeah, Brother Harold's not here, and he's always got it. Somebody else has it this morning. Let's bow for prayer, and I want to introduce the subject matter this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would just use your word, Lord. Apply your word to the hearts of everyone that's here. And I pray that by the time we leave, that we would have found direction for our path in life and comfort during our time of trouble. And again, my prayer is, if someone here doesn't know you personally, today will be the day of salvation for them. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, we have a series of things taking place. In verse number 20 through verse number 35, we have the institution of the Lord's Supper. And the Lord is using bread, and He's using the cup to portray His body and His blood that was to be shed. And we find out that during the course of this supper, Jesus declared one of His disciples would betray and another one would deny. Of course, we know that Judas gave the kiss of betrayal to Jesus. We know that Peter denied the Lord three times. So this is kind of the backdrop setting of what's taking place in Matthew 26. They're going through the Lord's Supper. And now, in verse number 36 through 46, we have the garden scene. The scene has moved from the table to the garden. I was looking at these verses this week, and I said, wow, this is the first Olive Garden right here. Olive trees were in this garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And in verse number 36, I want to begin reading, and I want you to notice some things that's taken place. After supper, things began to be difficult. Jesus making His way to the cross. And in verse number 36, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. That's quite a bit of reading I did this morning, but I do want to stop there in verse number 46 to get the full picture of this garden. And I want to talk to you for a few moments about Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's some things that take place in this particular area. And just after supper was over, and they made their way to this place of solace. Again, Jesus was making his way to the cross. And there were some things that surrounded this garden. This morning, my intention is to try my best to use some of the things in this scene, this garden scene that took place, to compare them to our life as believers. Because often we find ourselves in such a place of agony and anguish, a place where there's heaviness of soul. And what did Jesus do during this time? What did these three disciples do during this time? What is it that we can glean from this garden, Gethsemane? Well, I want to mention just three things this morning, and I hope they'll be a blessing and a help to you concerning the garden of Gethsemane. Number one, I want to look at the significance of Gethsemane. The significance. What's the meaning of the word Gethsemane? The meaning of the word is derived from two Hebrew words, which are gat, G-A-T. Gat, which means a place for pressing oil. Then there's another Hebrew word, shemininim, which means oils. And so you put these two Hebrew words together, gat, shemininim, and you have the English word, Gethsemane. I'm having to struggle with that word this morning. Get behind me, devil. But you have this one new English word, Gethsemane. What about the manufacturing of this garden? Well, we see the meaning and what it means. It's a place for pressing oil. But what about the manufacturing aspect of it? Well, there were three steps in order to get oil from olives. Number one, there's the oil crusher. The oil crusher. And this was a stone basin used to hold the olives while being crushed by a rolling millstone. And then there was a donkey that pushed on a horizontal beam, and this would then turn the millstone, crushing the olives into pulp. And so the olive crusher often would be in a cave for better temperature to improve oil production. And so there's the olive crusher, and its purpose was to be a basin for the olives to be, while this millstone was turning as the donkey was pushing, and it would crush these olives. It would burst them open. Step two, there were the stone slabs. And these stone slabs were heavy stone slabs, and they were lowered upon the pulp of the olives. And so the shell of these olives were bursted open. And then a big, huge stone slab was laid upon the pulp. And slowly and assuredly it would crush the pulp. And then we would have the oil from the olives. And then lastly, there's the second step, or there's a third step. And that is the oil was jarred. All of the oil was drained and it was jarred. And it was collected and sold because that valuable part of what was on the inside was now out and jarred, ready to be sold. This is the significance of Gethsemane. And it had to do with the stone crusher, or this olive crusher. It had to do with stone slabs. And it had to do with the oil being jarred. And this is the picture that Gethsemane gives, a place of heaviness, a place of anguish, a place even where you feel as though you are being crushed, a place where you feel that the very life of you is being squeezed out slowly and surely and steadily. The Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I want to move on, and we looked at the significance of this garden. But number two, what about the selected few of this garden? There was a selected few. Notice in verse number 37, the Bible says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee." I want us to take a moment and focus on these three men. Peter, James, and John. In the book of Matthew, the same book, chapter 10 and verse number 2, mentions who the sons of Zebedee are. And it is that of James and John. We have Peter, James, and John in this inner circle, a stone's throw from Jesus. Now, he had brought the 12 to the garden, but yet he told them to stay while these inner three came with him. I want you to notice as well that it was the same Peter, James, and John that not only experienced this low time with Christ, but they experienced a high time with Christ as well, on top of Mount Transfiguration. Jesus took them with him. And it was on top of that mountain where Jesus was transfigured, and they seen him in his glory. Now, the word transfiguration there in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 2, is the same word for the stages that a caterpillar goes to be a butterfly. It's a metamorphosis that takes place. That caterpillar that goes to be a butterfly has everything on the inside to be the flying butterfly. But you see, there were stages for that butterfly, the cocoon, the caterpillar. He would go and draw himself into a cocoon. And then he would push and press to get out of that cocoon. And it's because of the firmness of that shell, that cocoon, and it's because of the diligence that one day that caterpillar penetrates through and has a wing and has another wing. And it's because of the surrounding conditions it was transfigured. It was transformed. So we see that Jesus was transformed. He was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And he saw that. These men saw him on top of the mountain. And I'm sure that most of us have seen Jesus and experienced life when the blessings were flowing in. And God was answering prayer after prayer after prayer. And things were happening. And it's like literal blessings from heaven coming down. You see, this inner circle experienced Jesus on the mountain. But now they're experiencing Jesus in the valley. I want to say that not only these two occasions, this inner circle experienced Jesus on top of Mount Transfiguration. And now in the Garden of Gethsemane, but also they experienced the raising of Jairus' daughter. It was a time when Jairus' daughter had died, and Peter, James, and John were there as well. And so they seen Jesus in Luke 8:51. They seen Jesus when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter. They seen Jesus when he was high on the mountain and he was transfigured in all of his glory. And now they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's a very painful time. It's a time of agony and stress. I want to say that Jesus was preparing them for this. Jesus was preparing these men for this time in the garden. I want to say that many times in life, God, He moves in our life and He allows blessings to flow and He creates miracles and things happen. Many other times in life, He comes through in different ways and He answers prayer and He shows Himself faithful to us. He's Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide means for your financial stability. And He provides for our health and He provides for other areas of life. And we come to know Him by His provisions and faithfulness. But then there's the garden scene. Then there's the time as the word Gethsemane actually means. It means olive press. It's the time of crushing. It's the time where all you have to go on at this particular point in your life is what Jesus has done in your life. You here this morning going through the garden? Are you going through a time of heaviness? I want to say that our God is faithful. He is faithful. We've seen Him when He's reined in the blessings in our life. You know it's true and I know it's true. There has been times where God created miracles in your life. He has created miracles in my life. And there was no else to say it than it was God that did it. But now you're in pain. Now there's this heaviness of soul and sorrow in your life. As a great heavy concrete slab it feels is lowering in upon your soul. There's crushing taking place. Crushing of spirit. And like the writer says, even Jeremiah says it, and David says it. It feels like bones are broken. There's gravel in my mouth, Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3. He says, Lord, You have broken all of my teeth. Father, I feel like You have caged me in. You have set me up for the kill. But you know what? That's not true. Because during life, God is proving Himself. Not that He has to, but He's our Heavenly Father and He comes through as faithful and He's Jehovah Jireh. He meets needs when we didn't see no way that those needs would be met. All for the time you're experiencing now. The time when you walk into work, they say you're fired. The time when you go to the doctor's office and they say you have cancer. In the time where you're betrayed by a really good friend and you remember that there is one friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And there's those times where you get that job and they fire you or they lay you off. But then you remember somewhere in times gone by you were in similar situations and maybe not the longevity of it, the gravity of it. It was probably not as much as it is now. Maybe it was. But God came through. God showed Himself faithful. God showed Himself powerful. And this morning, He wants you to know the same God you've experienced on the mountain is the same God that's in the valley with you this morning. You may be in the garden and you may be overburdened, but listen, God is with you. He will stick it closer than any brother. When mother and father fail you, He will be there for you. He will bear you up with wings as eagles. You will walk and not faint. You will run and not be weary. We're traveling through the garden this morning. However you pronounce the word. We see that there was a selected few. Peter, James, and John. They were there. They seen His glory. But now the King of glory. Why is He on His face praying like that? Why is His sweat as great drops of blood? This is our King. Why is He so down and lowly? Where are You at, God? Sometimes in life it's hard not to feel this way because of the infirmity of our flesh and the human nature that we possess. But sometimes we might not say it, but we certainly think it. God, if You were here, or God, where are You at? I want to tell You that we're human and we feel these things. Elijah felt that way. He suffered from depression. In others, he was under that juniper tree. He wanted to die. But we serve a living God this morning. A God that will meet you in the garden of Gethsemane. And He will touch you and He will raise you up and He'll make you better than you were before because the same God that's on the mountain is the same God that's in the valley this morning. Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John. Don't nod off on the clock yet, guys. Peter, James, and John pray. Especially now. They've seen him on the mountain. They've seen him raise the dead. But man, now, it was high time that they would rise. It was high time that they would seek the Lord. This was high time. But they fell asleep. That's okay, because the Bible says in verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus knew that. But we have a selected few. And Jesus was preparing them on the mountain and all these other miracles for this valley low experience. The selected few of Gethsemane. The significance of Gethsemane. And then number three, the suffering of Gethsemane. Look in verse number 38. We see Jesus crushed. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Where he says, my soul, he's talking about emotional pain. Emotional pain, the human side of Jesus, this 100% God-man, 100% man, yet without sin. He was experiencing emotional pain. I don't know what's worse this morning, physical pain or emotional pain. But the Bible says that he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Exceeding sorrowful means to be intensely sad. Intensely sad. He was grieved all around. Think about it. One of his 12 was a sellout. He was getting money because he ratted out where Jesus was. Betrayal. And he walks up to him later on in this chapter. He walks up to him. Hello, Father. Kiss of death. And then the men knew that were coming to arrest him. Because of that kiss, they knew that was Jesus. Jesus, what he knew, he was getting ready to be betrayed. And Peter, to deny him. And not let alone knowing he's making his way to the cross to bear the weight of the sins of the world. Willingly. It brought heaviness upon his soul. It brought heaviness upon his heart. Listen, 100% man and 100% God, yet without sin. But still, he felt our pain. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Was tempted in all points like as we are, but yet without sin. We have a high priest who knows what it's like. And so he was in that garden and he was looking in that cup, so to speak. And his soul was exceeding sorrowful even unto death. I do not believe Jesus was afraid of dying. He just didn't want to give up the ghost here. Because the Father's plan wasn't finished yet. It was on the cross when it was finished. And I want to say to some of you this morning, God is not finished with you yet. You cannot give up here. You have got to grab hold of God because He has a hold of you. Some people say that I'm getting ready just to throw in the towel. Guess that's a boxing term. And guess who has the towel to begin with? Your coach. Not the actual opponent. It's not our right to throw in the towel. It's not our right. We can't throw in the towel. Our coach is the one who has the towel. And he's not throwing it in. Because Jesus is alive from the grave. He has been risen victorious. And because of the new birth, we have resurrection power to overcome. Sufferings. Gethsemane in verse number 38. Jesus was crushed. Now, turn if you would to Luke 22, 44. We see Jesus squeezed. Now, as you make your way to Luke 22, 44, when we saw Jesus was crushed, his soul was exceeding sorrowful, That has a lot to do and is very symbolic to the olive crusher. When the olives were in the basin and that millstone was crushing. And it was turning, it was crushing. Jesus, his spirit was being crushed. Now, Luke 22:44, we see Jesus squeezed. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I believe Jesus sweat blood. Let me tell you why I believe that. We see Jesus squeezed here. Sweating blood is a real condition. Listen to this. Just a little bit of fun fact for you. People have bled from their eyes, noses, and other mucous membranes. And this condition is called hematidrosis. And what hematidrosis is, it's, number one, it's believed to be brought on by intense stress where blood vessels rupture and penetrate the skin. The name of it is hematidrosis. And it's, again, it's where intense stress is brought on and tiny blood vessels rupture. And it's seen mixed with sweat coming through the pores of the skin. Some have bled through their eyes. I've seen videos of, especially an Indian girl, sweating, blood coming out of her eyes. Every time her eyes would water, it'd just be blood. Other membranes of the body, just membranes. But we see that Jesus was squeezed and he was in this garden in all of the agony, being crushed. Now he's being squeezed and he's sweating blood. When it comes to the process of these olives turning into oil to be sold, there's the olive crusher, the basin with the millstone, but then the stone slabs where it lays upon that pulp and it just squeezes and squeezes and squeezes. Jesus was squeezed to the point where his sweat became blood. So we see Jesus squeezed. We see Jesus crushed. But back in Matthew 26, verse number 39, we see Jesus tried. Verse number 39 of Matthew 26, his stride. The Bible says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." We see his stride. What do you mean his stride? Well, many times when you follow the life of Christ, he had corporate prayer. I mean, he would depart into a mountain, sometimes alone to a mountain. But then there was other times with his disciples, he would depart into mountains and solitude places where he would pray with his men. And there were times where he would pray before the multitudes. And so there was many times that he had corporate prayer. But corporate prayer wasn't getting it this time. Church on Sunday wasn't getting it this time only. He needed private prayer. There's public prayer. That's what we do here on Sundays and Wednesdays. But then there's private prayer. I want to say that there's a prayer closet that we're all called to enter into. But that prayer closet belongs to those who can't. Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you help yourself right now with what you're going through? I mean, I'm sure we have a mixed number here today. Some are experiencing life at its best and others are down in the valley. But if you are in such a place of anguish, how's it going during this time? Are you being crushed and are you in a time of agony? Listen, we'll pray for you and you can come and pray for yourself, but there's a call upon all of our life to enter into our prayer closet. This is a time of private prayer. Jesus went a little farther. He left corporate prayer but went to private prayer. Listen, if we are going to make it through our Gethsemanes of life and still have wings as eagles and still move on with the Lord and not quit our jobs, whatever that may be, that case, whatever the situation might be, faint and get weary and think we're going to throw in the towel, we have to have private prayer. Some of us this morning need to go a little further getting going to get a hold of God. And listen, this is a time where spirit and flesh meets. We have to penetrate through that wall of the flesh. Oh, you got things to do. Oh, God knows your heart. And that may be true. But listen, as a believer, we have a connection with God the Father through God the Son. We have a throne room of grace. And Romans 5 says, wherein we stand. Our standing's different. We're standing in grace. We have access to grace. We have the throne room of grace. And so during these times of difficulty, we don't have to quit. We don't have to give in. All we have to do is go to God in prayer. But it may take a little more out of your spiritual life. He had corporate prayer, but now he said in verse number 39, and he went a little farther, going to be alone, without the cares of the few, going to be by himself to pray to his Father. You got that backdrop, brother? My opinion. This isn't Jesus' prayer in the garden. My opinion. That's the prayer in the garden. That's time with the Father right there. This wasn't time with the Father. Oh, cup passed for me. No. You know what has to be stripped away out of our lives before we connect with God? Is surrender. Is obedience to Him. His absolute surrender. Lord, I can't get myself out. Lord, life is scary. Lord, I need you. Get on your face before God. Ask Him to save you if you're not saved. If you're saved, ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost and keep on going with Him. By the way, there is no resigning or quitting on God. Because the moment you give your life to Him, you no longer belong to you. You belong to Him. We see Him surrendered. We see His stride. He went a little further. Corporate prayer. Now it's private prayer. Lastly, and we'll be through, we see Jesus crushed, Jesus squeezed, Jesus strived, but then Jesus submitted. Look at verse number 39. Again, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That's his humanity. That's how he identified with us and identifies with us. He felt what he felt. But then there was a nevertheless here. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. He recognized in this verse his purpose. He knew his Father's plan. He's feeling sorrow and pain, but nevertheless. We see his surrender, his submission to the Father's plan. Verse number 42 says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." The suffering of Gethsemane. Jesus here was a submitted man to the Father's plan. He had a stride. It was for private prayer. He was squeezed and crushed. But yet, don't we all experience the same things from time to time? We go from a mountaintop experience to a valley low. Sometimes it can be with just one phone call. Things like that can happen. But I want to say to this morning, God is faithful. He's faithful and just to forgive. He's faithful and just to provide, though we believe not. He's a faithful God. And some of you may be here this morning and may be going through a garden scene in your life. I just want to mention to you that Jesus wants you to go a little farther. Just go a little. Don't quit. Don't think about it. Don't have no alternate solutions. Drugs won't do it. Alcohol won't do it. Hollywood won't do it. Only Christ can do what you really need. Let's stand to our feet with our eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your love, your peace. Thank you for who you are and for what you do. I pray for the next few moments that you would allow there be a liberty for your people to come a little farther and cry out to you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come, you come this morning, whatever the need is.